Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf chaf and chodesh tov to everyone. So we got to the bottom of Yud Tes Amud Beis, the Mishnah. So the Mishnah begins, Ein solin basar b'tzeil of beitza. A person is not allowed to roast meat or an onion or an egg, ela kadesh yitzol mibod yom, unless it cooked, it was right to be eaten before Shabbos. A person can place bread in an oven with close to darkness. Some type of cake on top of coals. You can't place it before Shabbos. Unless it got baked enough of an amount baked before Shabbos. And then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kadesh Yikrum HaTachton Shalav. Not only just stam baked, but the bottom of the bread must be baked a significant amount for it to be considered baked enough. The Gemara is going to discuss what exactly, how do you define tachton shela. So then the Mishnah says, Mishal shelin es pesach batanur im chashecha. A person is allowed to place the carbon pesach in the oven with chashecha. And if you look at Rashi here, Rashi in the bottom writes around 10 lines up, Mishal shelin es pesach. You could let it roast from before Shabbos. Even though the Mishnah said normally you could only place meat in an oven unless it's been cooked beforehand. But it comes to Karim Pesach, you could place it even though it's not fully cooked. Why is no concern? So it says Rashi, based on the Gemara, Hachashari, here by Karim Pesach, it's mutter. The Bnei Chabura Zerizenhein, the people who were in the Chabura, the Karim Pesach, they had to have a set Chabura of people on the guest list. So people of Bnei Chabura were Zerizenhein, they were very careful in particular how things were done properly, halachically. They'd remind each other, they'd make sure that no one would stoke the coals. Remember, the whole concern here of leaving meat or any food cooking from before Shabbos, if it wasn't fully cooked, you might come stoke the coals to make it cook quicker so it's ready for the Suda that evening. But in this instance, we have the Bnei Chabura of the Karim Pesach reminding each other there is no concern. So then the Mishnah says, last line of the Yud Tesmer Beis here, U'machizin es ha'or b'meduras beis hamukad. You're allowed to light the wood on fire in the beis hamukad. What is this talking about? So we have to look at Rashi. Rashi explains, U'machizin es ha'or, ma'at ma'at be'etzim, you could light a little bit of the fire, a little bit of the wood, sh'meduras beis hamukad, the big bonfire that was in the beis hamukad. What was the beis hamukad? Sh'hayisa ba'ez ba'zara. It was an area off the Azara in the base of Mikdash where you have the fire going all night. And even though we'll see in the Gemara how exactly one would have a fire running in their home, but when it came to the base of Mikdash, there was no concern of people having to light the fire more. As long as it's lit a little bit, you're allowed to have it continue to burn through Shabbos. Says Rashi, V'lo chashin on shema hayu akonim tzrichin lavira mishatichshach. There is no concern that when it gets dark, the kohanim might feel the need to light it more. That's not a chashash in the Azara. We'll see why. So why were they lighting a fire? Why was there a need for a fire in the base of Mikdash? So says Rashi, Beis Hamukad Elishcha Gedola. He was a very large chamber off the side of the Azara. Shekohanim Mischamim Mimisham. The Kohanim would warm themselves up by the fire. This was the heating source. B'meduras Eish, from the big fire, Haniskeis Ptamer, that was constantly burning. Mipnei Shemahalchin Yechefim Al Ritzbas Shayish Bazara. Remember, in the Beis Hamikdash, there couldn't be a chatzitza between the Kohen and the floor. So they walk around barefoot, and the floor was marble, and that's pretty cold. So they had to warm themselves up, certainly in the winter, so that was burning all the time. That was a function of the ore in the Beis Hamukkah. The Rambam writes in Perash Mishnah, the point of this was actually nothing to do with the Kohanim. It was Tzarech Gavo, was the purpose of the Beis Hamikdash for the Karbanos, because there's a din that you have to take Eish, you have to add fire to the Mizbeach every single day. That even though there was a certain Eish, the Gemara tells us in Yuma, that every single day in Eish, you read this from Shemayim. It came from Shemayim and lit the Mizbeach. There was still a mitzvah that the Kohanim had to light the fire as well from our fire. That was true even on Shabbos. So you had that fire going all the time to be the source of the fire for the Mizbeach. Either way, there's machlokas, but they say that you're allowed to leave it lit from before Shabbos, and we'll learn those dinim in just a moment. Now going on to Daf Chaf, the Mishnah continues on the very top and says, Ubegvulin. However, outside the Beis HaMikdash, the din is you could only keep a fire running, Kadesha Tochaz Ha'or Berubo. As long as the fire was able to catch most of the firewood, then you could leave it going. But if it didn't catch most of the firewood that's there, you would not be allowed to leave the fire going. Rabbi Huda Omer, Bechamim kolsha. When it comes to Bechamim, certain types of coals, you don't have to wait for Rov. And reason is because Rashi says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im hayisam duras Bechamim, if the bonfire was made of Bechamim, ein tzarech lahachiz ben na'or. You don't have to really have the fire catch strongly. El kosher, as long as there's a little bit of a flame that's there, that's sufficient, vidolekes veholeches, because this is very flammable. As long as there's a little bit of a fire, it's fine for it to, it's eventually going to catch, and no one's going to end up stoking the coals or having to move further. De'ein darchalios kaba veholeches. It's not the type of the bechamim for it to extinguish on its own, and therefore ein tzarech lachtos ben. So there's an exception, Rabbi Yehuda says, when using bechamim as the firewood. Outside of Pachamim, if you're going to have a fire lit from before Shabbos, make sure that most of the fire, most of the wood, has already caught fire before. Okay, so the Gemara now wants to know two lines down on Chaf Amun Aleph. Fakama, how much what? What's the shear? How much does something have to be cooked, roasted before Shabbos in order to leave it continually to cook? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav, Kadesh Yitzolo Mibor Yom, Kemaychol Ben Jusai. As long as it was cooked, the amount of the food of Ben Jusai. Who's Ben Jusai? So fascinating that he makes his way into the Gemara, very important Gemara. And Halacha, Rashi says Ben Jusai was Listim Hayom. There were some type of robbers. And they would eat their food only a third cooked, either because that's how they liked it or because they were always on the run, they were always busy robbing. As long as it hit a shlish one-third cooked, that's considered Michael Ben Jusai. That's enough of a cooking for you to leave it shahilate, leaving it cooking through Shabbos. Now the Rambam argues, Rambam says it has to actually be a half. He defines Michael Ben Jusai as a half. So this is a big machlokas in the Rishonim. It's brought down in the poskim as well, that either a third or a half cooked is sufficient for you to leave food in the oven from before Shabbos. Okay, now defining a third and a half is also very challenging, because the Chazon Ish is Mechadish, and other poskim don't agree with him, that you have to take, let's say it takes a steak 30 minutes to cook. It's a lot, but let's say 30 minutes to cook a steak, so a third would be 10 minutes, and half would be 15 minutes. You just slice everything in half, or a third, in terms of the time. But the post can point out that doesn't really work out so well, because when you cook food, it doesn't cook in a straight line. As you know, the beginning of the cooking process, the first 10 minutes, it's still very, very raw. But as it gets to the end of the process, it cooks much faster. It goes from medium to medium well very, very quickly, very rapidly. So it's not evenly cooked, so it's hard to know what a third and a half is practically, but either way, this is a machlokas, and that's a definition. As long as it's Michael Ben Jusai before Shabbos, you can leave it on the oven, in the oven, from before Shabbos. The Gemara goes on to say further now, Itamar Nami was also stated, Amar Vasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Shuk Kemaychol Ben Jusai, whatever is cooked a third or a half, Ein Bo Mishum Bishuli Nachem. A different topic now, it's not subject to Bishul Akum. What that means is that if a Jew cooked something a third or a half cooked, that's Michael Ben Jusai, and a Goy cooks the rest of it, the remaining part, that is not subject to Bishul Akum, because once a Jew cooked it, it has a chalosh shem Bishul Yisrael, and you can't change it after the fact. So Gemara quotes a brisa, Tanya, Chananya, Omer, Kol, Shu, Kemaychol, Ben Jusai, anything that's been cooked a third or a half, of the definition of Maychol, Ben Jusai, Mutal Lishoso Agabe Kira, you can leave it in the oven from before Shabbos, the Afa Pesh Ein Grufa, V'Ketuma, even though you didn't do Grufa or Ketuma. Meaning another way to do Shehiyah, if let's say you had food that wasn't Michael Ben Jusai, and you want to leave it in, you want to do Shehiyah, that's allowed if it's either Grufa or if it's Ketuma. What's Grufa and Ketuma? So Rashi explains Grufa is either you move the coals, even though the oven might be hot, but you took the coals out or you turned the fire off, so there's still a heat that's there, but since the coals are off, person won't come to stoke the coals. Or Ketuma is you threw some ashes on top of the coals, which also cooled it off, and there's no concern of Shemichata. So there really are three basic ways a person could do Shehiyah. Four ways, I should say. Either if it's Michael Ben Jusai, then you could leave it with the fire on. Or, we said the other day, if you throw a raw piece of meat, right before Shabbat, that's also allowed of Shehiyah, as long as the fire, even the fire is still going. Or, if regardless of how well it's cooked, if you do grufa or you do ketuma, either you turn the fire off or you cover up in such a way with ashes or, in our case, aluminum foil or blech, these would be other ways to allow for Shehiyah. Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Ein nosin es apas. You can't leave the bread in the oven from before Shabbos unless we said it was baked beforehand. Kadesh yikrom hatachton shela. The bottom of the bread was already starting to brown. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says ibaylu tachton deheach degabe tanur Odilma tachton hayach de gavi ha'or. How do you define tachton? The way it was, the bread was like a pita, like a lafa, was placed against the wall of the oven. So do you define tachton as what's against the wall of the oven, or do you define tachton the opposite side, where it's closer to the fire, the outside of it, where it's closer to the fire? Is that considered tachton? So the Gemara says, Tashma, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kadei Sheikramu Paneh Hamudubokim Batanur. The bottom is defined by that which is attached, touching the oven, not that which is closer to the fire. And Rashi just points out here, Tosa argues, but we'll just read it, Rashi. Rashi writes, Midubokim Batanur, that's part which is connected to the touching the oven, the chumrah, this is a chumrah, the panim, the inner part, sheklapei or, which is close to the fire, mimaharin likrom, it's going to brown sooner. That which is against the oven will not brown as fast, so the fact that you need the bottom that's touching the tanner, that has to be brown, that's a longer period of baking, that's a chumrah. Back inside the Gemara, now the Gemara says, Meshalshim se Pesach, you are able to place a place carbon Pesach in the oven. My time, why is that allowed? As we saw in Rashi, this is the Gemara. Bishum to bnei chabura is reason hein, and halavach. So there's reason. They make sure to watch over each other. No one's going to do anything wrong. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Halavach ilo. Had not been that case, had the bnei chabura not been reason, we wouldn't allow them to roast the carbon Pesach. For hamar mar gadia bein shark bein lo shark shaper dami. When it came to a goat, you know, Karim Pesach comes from a goat or a sheep, so we said you're allowed to do it because we said that the goat, no one's going to stoke the coals because it's going to ruin the goat. So the Gemara says, no, hasa minzach, hacha lo minzach. There, when we said you could leave a gedi, it's a very gentle, very sensitive meat, there's no conserve shiria there because that's when it's cut up. When it's cut in pieces, it's much more vulnerable to getting ruined from stoking the coals, from the smoke. But by the Karim Pesach, the din is you can't cut it up. You roast it whole. And since it's roasted whole, it's more protected. So if one were to stoke the coals and create smoke, it wouldn't ruin the Karim Pesach. That's why it wouldn't be allowed. The only reason why it is allowed is because the Bnei Chabura are Zrizin Haim. Gemara says further now, Machizin Es Ha'or, V'chulu, that you light the fire before Shabbos. So Gemara says, Menoh Nimila, how do you know this to be the case? How do you know that's allowed? You can allow the fire to continue to cook even on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Minari Mile, Amar Rav Huna Lo Sivar Eish, Bechol Moshe Roseichem. You can't let the fire going, you can't light a fire on Shabbos, Bechol Moshe Roseichem Yatam Avi, you can't let it go on Shabbos, Aval Atam Avi B'Meduas Beis HaMukad. So although in my own house, I can't leave a fire going, but I can't leave it going on in the Beis HaMukad, in the Beis HaMikdash. So Gemara says, Maskiv La Rav Chizr, Rav Chizr says, Ihach, that's the case, Afilu b'Shabbos Nami. So if that's the case, that they only asked it in the Gvulim, but they didn't ask it in the Beis HaMikdash, so why did the Mishnah say it's only Mutter Erev Shabbos? Even on Shabbos itself, you should be allowed to light a fire in the Beis HaMukad. If the Pasuk Lo Sivar Eish B'Chol Moshe Roseichem saying, B'Chol Moshe Roseichem don't light a fire, but in the Beis HaMikdash you can, so Afilu b'Shabbos you should light a fire in the Beis HaMukad, in the Beis HaMikdash. So Gemara says, Ela Amar Vchista, Kra Ki Asa, the Pasuk's referring to is Lemishrei Eivarm Upadarm Hu Da'asa. Nothing to do with our case of a fire. It's referring to letting the fats, the limbs and fats burn all night long. That even though normally we wouldn't allow that to happen, but when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, we allow you to let it go all night long. The reason being is, B'Kohanim is Zerizim Haim. Because Kohanim is Zerizim, but really nothing to do with the regular fire that we're talking about. The Gemara now says, "Ubegvulin kadesha tochas." We said in the Mishnah, if you want a fireplace to be running from before Shabbos, you have to make sure that rove of the wood already caught fire. So, how do we define rove? So, my ruban, amarav rove kol echad ve'echad. Each one, each individual piece of wood needs rove of it caught in fire. Ushmuel amar kadesh lo yomru haba etim v'naniach tachtem. He says no real definition of rove. As long as you see the wood catch fire enough, where you're going to get to the point of not having to say bring more wood, you can say, oh, this is enough. I don't need any more wood. Once you get to that point, that means the fire has caught well enough and you're allowed to leave it running from before Shabbos. So Tani Rav Chia L'Siyu L'Shmuel. There's a brisa in the name of Rav Chia that supports the Shmuel's position, which says, Kedei Shetehei Shalheves Ola Me'alea. If you get to the point where the flame is able to catch on its own and go continue on its own, V'lo Shetehei Shalheves Ola Aide Davacher. But not a flame whereby you still need some assistance, that's where we don't allow the fire. So if the fire is self-sufficient, then that's when Shmuel says you're allowed to leave that fire from before Shabbos. If it isn't self-sufficient, if it still needs some davar acher, then it would be prohibited to leave from before Shabbos. So what's the din when it comes to Eitz Yechidi? Let's say you have one big log, Eitz Yechidi. Are you allowed to leave that on from before Shabbos? And if so, how lit does it have to be for you to let it run through Shabbos? So Rav Amar Rova Avio, he says most of the width, Vamile Barova Hekefo. So the circumference. So Rashi says Avio is that the width is the fire has to burn through the thickness, most of the thickness through inside the wood. And Rova Hekefo means the circumference, as long as the outside, most of the outside has caught fire, even though the inside hasn't yet caught fire. So that's a big machlokas. So Amar Rapapa, Rapapa says, Hilkach, Ba'inan Rov Avio, Ba'inan Rov Hakefa. We find Rapapa many places in Shas, I mentioned this before, where he's always Machrir the Din. These are one of the places where he's Machrir the Din, that therefore you should be like both. You should have make sure that most of the circumference is lit, and also most of the width inside is lit as well. Kitanai is it Machlokas Tanayim. The Rabbi Chiya Amar, Kidei Sheyishchas Ha'et Mimlechas Ha'uman. That the fire has to be lit in such a way where it's no longer fit if a worker wants to use the wood, but it's ruined it too much. That means Rov Aviyav, if most of the thickness has been burnt, that indicates the wood is no longer usable. That's a definition. That's Rov Avio. In Rabbi Yehuda, Ben Meser Omer, Kadesh Tochas Eish Mishneit Stadim. As long as the fire catches on the outside, that's the circumference. V'yafa Pish Ein Raya L'Davar. Even though there's no proof, Zeich L'Davar, there is a hint to such a concept. It says in the Pasuk in Yecheskel, Eshneik Tzosava Achla Eish, the two outside, the fire burnt the outside. V'socho Nachar Yitzlach Hamlacha. But the inside remained still fine, and it was good enough for Malacha. So this is a remez, but either way, there's machlokas tanaim, either rov avio or rov hekefo, and Rapapa says do like both. Now it's interesting. The Chazon Ish asks a question I don't understand. That this whole din of the of letting the fire burn from before Shabbos is only an issa midrabanan. I mean, we have a klal in kol tar kula safek derabanan lakula. So if we're going to mekel, how come Rapapa's machmir that you need both rov avio and rov hekefo? Isn't that a chumra? And this is a safek derabanan. We should be lakula. So Chazon Ish points to a Ran, the Gemara Masechem. The Gemara Masechem is talking about a machlokas. When it comes to leaning for the Dal Kosos, one opinion says you have to lean only for the first two Kosos, not the second two. And then the Gemara says, no, another opinion says you only have to lean for the second two, and not for the first two. And the Gemara says, therefore, you should lean for all four. Asks the Ran, Dal Kosos is only Midir Banam. If it's a Safek, about where you have to do a Seba, shouldn't you be Mekel and not have to lean for any of them? But instead we say you should be Machmer and lean for all four. That goes against the Klal, Safek Derabanan Lakula. So the Ran explains, we can say Safek Derabanan Lakula if it means it's going to uproot the din entirely. If we were to say by Dal Kosos, don't lean by any of them, because Lakula, what comes out is, there's no Haseba. We're uprooting Haseba. And Safek Derabanan Lakula can't be in such a way where it's uprooting the entire din. So that's why we make sure you lean for all four. Here as well, if we were to say Lakula, you don't need Rov Hekefo, you don't need Rov Avio, we're uprooting the entire din. And therefore, in order to preserve the din, we have to be Machmer. These are exceptions whereby even Safek Derabanans, we are going to be Machmer. Okay, back inside the Gemara now. The Gemara says, quotes a pasuk that appears in Yirmiyahu. It says as follows: the ha'ach lefanav mivaeres. The ach in front of you burn. My ha'ach. What exactly is the word ach? I mean, it doesn't mean a brother. So amarav, it's connected. We'll see in a second. Amarav achavna. Chavna is a rava, type of like a rava street. It's a type of branch. Ushmul amar etim shenidaklu bachvanya. It's referring to that there were a fire that was burnt with a bunch of woods together, like brothers combined together. That's what it means. So just as a heads up, the rest of the Gemara from now until through Amud Beis is all going to be very, very technical. I'm not going to know all the definitions of the terms. I don't have an article in front of me, but we'll do the best we can. So the Gemara again says, Ach is either Amarav Achvana, which is an Arava tree, Vishmul Amar Echem Shenidiklu Ba'achva, which means they're like brothers that are connecting together, and small ones and big ones all combining together. That's what the Pasuk means. So Ahud Amar Luhud, the one who holds that man by Achvana, the one who wants to buy Ishkach Arafta. So there was once a mice, a person wanted to buy Achvana, and they gave him Arafta. So we see Achvana is a type of Arava tree. So Amar Ravuna says, Konim Ein Trichen Rof. Now, when it comes to the din of having to make sure that fire has caught most of the wood before Shabbos, when it comes to kanim, when it comes to reeds, reeds do not require the din of rov. The reason being because since reeds are so flammable, even a little fire will make sure the rest of it will catch fire, so kanim reeds are an exception. Ogdin, tzuchen rov. However, if you combine them together, you lump them together, so then they're not going to catch fire as much, they're kind of claustrophobic, they're tight, and therefore, in that case, when they're ogden, you do have to make sure rove of the reeds are caught fire. Garinim, when it comes to date seeds, date pits, Ein Tzrichim Rov, these apparently are also flammable. You don't need to ensure that Rov is caught in fire. But Nasin Bechosis, if you put them in the baskets, or some type of basket made of lulav branches, lulav leaves, then that's not as flammable, Tzrichim Rov. You need Rov of it catching fire before Shabbos. So Maskev La Rav Chis, Rav Chis asks and challenges, Adarab, the opposite should be true. The opposite makes more sense. If the reeds are separate from each other, the individual, so that one won't catch fire to the other one because there's space in between. They're not going to move the fire from one to the next. But if they are combined, if they're wrapped together, they're not going to be dispersed. And having one reed catch fire, it will make sure the other ones will catch fire as well. So the opposite is true. When they're combined is when they're more flammable. And when they're dispersed is when they're less flammable. And Garinan as well. Mibadron, if they're separate, one, you know, there's space in between, they're not going to catch fire from one pit to the next pit. But Nasim Bechalsis, if you put them together in a basket, lo Mibadron, they're not going to disperse, and it's going to be more flammable. So that was the challenge, she said. So the Gemara says, Itmar Nami, says further, going on to Chaf Amar Beis now, Amar of Kahana, Rav Kahana says, Kanim Sh'algan Tzuchan Rov, if they're combined together, so then you require Rov. If low algin, if it's not ain't tzrichin rov, you don't need rov. So this goes like a rev chista, and garinin tzrichin rov nasim betchosos ain't tzrichin rov. So we see this the position of rev kana is just like rev chista. So the gemara then says tani rev yosef. Yosef says arba meduros ain't tzrichin rov. There are four types of fires that don't require rov either. That if you just put a little fire, it's very flammable. It will catch on its own. What are the four? Shel zephis, which is tar, I believe, shel gafris, shel gvina cheese, shel revava, different types of fat or wax. These apparently are very flammable and don't need rov. B'masni setana, af shel kash, b'shel gvava. Kash is some type of straw, and gvava is some type of leftovers of the grains, of the wheat. These are all examples of this, that which is flammable, which also don't require rov. So amr b'yochan etim shel bavel ein tzichem rov. Certain types of Babylonian wood also is very flammable, doesn't require rov. So maskala Rav Yosef and Mahi, what exactly is Eitzim Shel Bavel? Ilema silt, if you're saying it's silta, which is little small wood chips. Hashta psila, if we're going to say a wick that's made of cloth, and which is very flammable. And Amar Ula Malik Tzarech She'av the Grove Hayotze, that when it comes to flammable wicks, you require rov. Silptil me boy, small little wood chips, which is less flammable, that doesn't require rov. That doesn't make any sense. So Eitzim Shel Bavel can't be silta, can't be wood chips. Ella Amar of Yosef, Shocha de Arza. What's Shocha de Arza? Apparently in the cedar tree, in between the bark and the wood, there's some type of wool in between, and that wool is very, very flammable. That's what we're referring to. That's Eitzim Shel Bavel, Ein Tzrichim Rov. Rami Bar Abba Amar, Zaza, he said Zaza, which is some type of dried out tree. When it, wood is dried, it's certainly more flammable. That's the example that we're talking about. Hadron Alach Yitzias HaShabbos, that concludes the first parak. So let's continue now on to the second parak, which is just as technical as we've been doing now. So the Mishnah tells us, we know the first Mishnah, we know most of the Mishnahs in Vamem Malikin. The Mishnah begins, Vamem Malikin, Vamem Ein Malikin. Which types of oils and wicks can you use for lighting Shabbos candles? Ein Malikin, Lo Belechash, Lo Bechosim, Lo Bekolach, Lo Besilas Ha'idam, Lo Besilas Ha'midbar, Lo Beyokash, Lo Pnei Amayim. We're going to see all these definitions in the Gemara. Lo Bezefes, Lo Beshava, Lo Beshem Kik, Lo Beshem Sveifa, Lo Be'alya, Lo Becheleva, not the Nachum Amadi, Omer Malikin, Becheleva Mavushal, Bechacham, Omer Me'echem Mavushal, Ve'echashena Mavushal, Ein Malikin Bal. So we're going to see all these details in the Mishnah, these things that with different types of wicks and oils that may not be used on Shabbos. Now, just a couple of points before we go through the details here. So there is a machlok, as we showed him, what's the reason why these wicks and oils may not be used? So according to many Rishonim, the reason is because since they don't light very well, there's a concern you might come to adjust it on Shabbos and come to lead to havara and burning more. And therefore, we don't want wicks or oil that don't catch fire nicely. The Rambam says no. The concern is not that you're going to fix the wick. The concern is that it just might go out. And if it goes out, you're not going to properly fulfill the mitzvah of Ne'er Shabbos and not have Shalom Bayis like we're supposed to have on Shabbos. So the post can point out that what happens if the only oil available is the one that's listed here in the Mishnah. So if you say the concern is that you might come to Shema Yater, then you shouldn't use it. Even though this is the only oil and wick you have, you shouldn't use it because there's a gezeira you might come to violate Mavir. But according to the Rambam, the point is that you should have good light to use. So if this is all you have, do the best you can. If it light remains, then great. And if it doesn't remain, well, you wouldn't have anything otherwise. So therefore, you should use it. But Rav Yasha points out, it's Masha from the Gemara, that it's across the board, that it sounds like from the Mishnah, you can never use any of these oils or wicks, no matter what. Even if this is the only oil or wick available, it seems Pasha that you shouldn't be able to use this. Let's go for the Gemara now, just defining the different terms, the different details here. So Gemara says, what's lechesh? Lechesh, Gemara says, is shocha, is socha de arza, which we said was that wool that's between the branch and the bark of a cedar tree. So Gemara says, socha de arza, eitz ba'amu, that's a regular tree. Gemara says, no, it's not the tree we're talking about, it's the ba'amranisa de isbe, the wool that's between the wood and the bark, that's what we're describing here. A person should not use that on Shabbos. Below Bechosin, the Gemara says, Amar of Yosef, Neores, Shelpishon, some of the little wood chips that come from flax, that's what we're referring to here. Amar Le'abai, Abai says, V'haksev, but doesn't the Pasuk say in Yishayahu, V'haya hechosin l'nu'ures, which tells us that chosin and nu'ures is not the same thing, they're two different things. We just define chosin as nu'ures, but the Pasuk says they're two things, chosin and nu'ures. So El Amar Abai, kitna d'dayik v'lo nafetz. The way flax works is a whole process of combing it and soaking it. So we're referring to different stages in the process of the flax, that chosen is where it was combed, but it wasn't yet, rather it was crushed, but it wasn't yet combed. That's what we're referring to as the chosen. So then the Gemara says, "V'lo b'kalach, you can't use kalach. What's kalach?" Amr Shmuel, "Shel tinu l'chol nichus ayama." I asked all the various sailors what it was, and Amri kul kal shemei, they said it was called kulcha. Okay? So Rav Yitzchak bar Yizira Amar Gushkura, that's what it's called. It's some type of, I think, like the leftovers, the psolas of silk. Rav and Vabai have a Yasvi Kame, they were sitting once in front of Ravna, Nechemya Achua de Reish Galusa, the brother Reish Galusa, and Chadid Dehavi Lavish, and they saw he's wearing a metachsa, some type of material called metachsa. Amrilei Rabin Labai, Rabin turns to Bai and says, "Ah, Hainu klach tetan," that's what the mission Bamalikin refers to, klach, that material that he's wearing, that's what klach is. Amalei Anan Shira Pranda Karinila. We call it Shira Pranda. That's what it's called. Okay, some type of silk, it seems. So Mesive Hashirayim Vakalach Vasirkin Chayim Mitzitzis. These materials, when it comes to silk, when it comes to kalach, when it comes to srikin, these are all Chayim Mitzitzis. So we see that it's different, that Shira Parnach is different than kalach. It's not the same thing. So Tiyufta Deravin, so still unclear what exactly, what type of silk we're referring to. By same alternatively, shira l'chod, v'shira pranda l'chod. Shira is one type of thing, shiraim is one type of silk, but shira pranda, which is also kalach, is a different type of silk. So different types of silks that are out there, again, this is not my industry, but somehow there's a, this is referring to a silk that can't be used for a wick. The lo b'psilas ha'idan, the Gemara says, achvina, that's what we refer to on Amud Aleph, as some type of a rava tree. Ravin v'abai have a ka'azli b'paks, they were once traveling in an area, ditamrarisa, an area called Paksa de Tamruisa. Chazir and Lahanu Arvasa, they saw certain types of Aravos. Amalai, Rabin Labai, Hainu Eden de Tran. Oh, those Aravos are what the mission Bab Malikin are referring to, that's called Eden. Amalai, Hai H. Ba'amla. No, those are just regular trees. So Kalaf of Achvulei, Amrinisa de Bene Bene, they opened up the tree and they found the wool that was sandwiched between the wood and the bark, and they said that this is Taka that was described in the Mishnah as Eden. Veloba psilas hamidbar, the wicks in the desert, shavra, some type of Spanish grass of some sort that's very long, like a wick, that's what that's referring to. Veloba yoka shel v'chule, you can't use any of the green that's on top of the water, so mahi, what exactly is it referring to? Ilema ukam to decharitzav, is referring to some type of green algae that grows on top of the water, it parucha miparchan, that's going to break, and that won't even be able to be, you can't physically make that into a wick, so that it can't be referring to that. Ela amarav papa lukmasa de agma, some type of green algae that grows on the side of the boats. That is something you could actually fashion a wick out of. That's what Yiroka Shal Pnei Amayim is referring to. Satan of the Brisa says further now, Hosifa Alei, and they added on additional psulim that were not mentioned in the Mishnah, Shal Tzemer Vishal Seyar. You can't use wool or hair as the base of a wick. The Tana, they done our Mishnah, why do they leave it out? Because at Tzemer Michvatz Kovitz, when you try to light wool, it just kind of shrinks. It won't even light. Not even shaykh to talk about. V'seyar, ichru michrach, and hair, you try to light hair, just it doesn't catch fire. So the Mishnah didn't address it. Enechanami, Tzemer and Seyar are puzzle, but it's so obvious that they don't work, they're not going to function as wicks. The Mishnah didn't feel the need to mention it. Vloba zephis, you can't use some type of tar. Zephis zivsa, that's again a type of tar, I believe. The shaiva is referring to wicks. Kirusa, which is the the wax, the leftover after honey, after using the honeycombs, the wax from the honeycombs, satana. So the Brayso says, adkan, up until the words yiroka shapnemayim, that's psul psilos. We were talking about that which is possible for wicks. From once we get to the list of yiroka shapnemayim, that first half of the Mishnah is what is disqualified for wicks. Mikan ve'elik, from that point on, the Mishnah goes on to list psul shmanim, that which is possible because it's not good for the oil. So Gemara says, pshita, of course, it's obvious. We know which ones are referring to wicks and which ones are possible because of oil. Why did the Gemara have to tell me this? So Gemara says, shava itzrichle, to tell me by the wax. That was in the chiddush here. Meaning what? Mal the same. What would I have thought? Lepsilos nami lo chazim. Maybe wicks, rather wax, is not only possible for used as being used as an oil, but maybe you can't even use it for the wick as well. Kamasron, we learn from here that no, that they're only possible to be used as the oil, but if you want to use the wax as a wick, you actually would be allowed to. Let's just finish off the daf and just go to the top line of daf chaf aleph. The Gemara says, Amr Rami bar Avin at itrana psulta dezifna. Itrin, which you mentioned in the Mishnah, that's apparently the psolus of the tar. After you've removed the tar, there's some leftover something, some psolus that's there, some type of oil. That's atran. And shava is psulta deduvsha. The wax is referring to the leftovers after collecting the honey. Whatever the honeycomb is left behind, that's the wax they're referring to. That's pasul. The Mainafkamina, who cares what these different things are? The Mecha Chomemchar, that if a person wants to sell you something, a guy wants to buy wax and you want to give him the psolos of the honey, that would be considered wax, that would be considered a fair sale, a fair trade. Okay, we will stop here. Everyone have a good Chodesh, and we will meet Hashem continue tomorrow.